Lefkowitz, who has not been functional today, stands in the shotgun. Takes the snap, drops to throw with time. Now fires it long down the field. He's looking for Jimmy Smith. Smith trying to get the ball. Makes the grab. He's got the ball. He's inside the 25. Over Troy Vincent. Is there drama in Byron Lefkowitz? He sure has shown it here in the final 2 minutes. Byron fighting the noise, calmly barks out the signals, takes the snap, drops, turns, throws. He's looking for Wilford. He made the grab. He made the grab. Touchdown, Jacksonville. Touchdown, Jacksonville. Touchdown, Jaguars. Wilford made the grab. He made the grab. The Jaguars are going to win. There's no time left.
Now live from Everbank Field, 1010XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
All right, hello and good morning. Welcome in Jaguars Today on this Thursday morning live at the Florida Blue practice fields. Looks like another good day for the weather, Tony. For
it does.
Practice for the Jags. Got the rain right as they were coming off the field yesterday. But right now, so far, steamy and sunny out here for the second day in pads for the Jacksonville Jaguars. There goes Hayes Carline, who I hope remembers to stop by at 10:15. See how I was trying to do that? I was trying to communicate with him through the speakers, Tony, and he didn't even turn his head in our general direction. But let's say hello to T-Wig right now on Jaguars Day. T-Wig, what is this object that I'm pointing to right now? What is this?
That's a table.
You would think it's a table,
right?
But it's really the Metro Diner chat counter.
Is what it is.
And welcome.
Is there a crab? Is there a crab cake sandwich in there?
I already ate waffles. I already ate them all.
You did?
Yes, I did. You know, yesterday Lauren said they did on Helmets and Heels. What's the dumbest question you've ever been asked? And I said, for me, it is, are you going to eat that?
Yeah.
Yes, what do you think? Of course I'm going to eat that.
Yeah, of course.
So, no, we did not save you any breakfast this morning from Metro Diner. But how you doing? Everything
good? Yeah, I'm good, man. I wanted to come out here, get out here bright and early, get some content.
A little sweat?
A little sweat, just a little bit. You know, me and Hack going to be in there together today. He's always sweating, so at least I can join the party, right?
does he still refer to it as churning butter?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Hacker has those hackerisms that he talks about. Frangiisms, they're more hackerisms.
No. There are a few hackerisms. Most of the hackerisms are someone else's isms.
Oh, okay, I got you.
Copied over the years, but nevertheless.
Yeah, I'll probably bump into my partner in crime out here.
I'm sure he'll be out here. He's been out here just about every day. I've seen him out here so far. We've seen you out here a bunch as well. What, if anything, has intrigued you, has caught your eye? Obviously, you know, first week still coming to a close here, but what have you seen that is worth noting?
Well, I tell you what I want to see today. I want to see what I heard that everybody saw about Blake yesterday, because I think what's going to determine how far he jumps this year is not going to be having a good day like yesterday one time. It's going to be stacking them and putting them together. So you want to see that consistency to where it's the normal thing that he plays well. And I want to see that. What I don't want to see, I don't want to see anybody limp off injured. And I was hearing you talk about Marquise Lee. You know what makes Marquise Lee's situation so difficult to deal with? The fact that 2 years in a row now, he's been injured. And then you had the Dante Fowler situation there. It's almost like it's not fair. You're never going to really see this year all of the work that they put into the draft, because they emphasized the draft more than they did in free agency for the first 3 years. So you got two very high picks that won't be on the field this year for the Jaguars.
Well, now we say that. I mean, Marquise Lee.
I mean, early.
Right.
To get together, the collective. For a team that emphasized the draft so much, what you don't want to see is one guy out and then another guy who was out a lot last year, now he's out again this year. It's almost like it's unfair. I feel bad for him, but it's next man up, Mike. That's what they say.
That's the thing, right? You can't sit here and go, well, you know what? We've lost a couple of guys. We lost one guy for the season. Another guy's going to be out for the next couple of weeks. It's over with, right?
Right.
You can't be that thin. But Gus did
say the calendar keeps turning, boys.
No, it can't, right.
And they're going to play a game next Friday, and come September, they're going to have to line it up. It doesn't matter who's hurt. They got to go play the game.
The latest we heard, by the way, week to week, right, with I think Hayes and
Ryan
O'Halloran
yeah.
from the Florida Times Union reporting that. Tony, you asked around this morning when the report first came out on Schefter saying it's going to be 2 weeks, and somebody in position with the Jags to know said, you didn't get it from us, don't know where he got that.
Right.
You know, I don't think they've determined it's going to be that long, but I think they know he's probably going to miss the rest of this week, miss the scrimmage.
Sure.
So going into next week, it's kind of week to week.
You wouldn't be surprised if he's out for a week,
you
right?
You wouldn't be surprised if he's out for a month,
right?
Honestly.
You wouldn't be surprised if he's not going to play on Saturday. That's pretty clear at this point. He's not going to play in the scrimmage on Saturday, and You wouldn't be shocked if he's not playing in week one of the preseason for this football team. But again, with everything they're trying to develop, and you talk about the continuity, wanting to see Blake stack good days together, well, you're also trying to install a brand new offense. And when you're missing pieces trying to install that offense, those are reps they can't get back.
Right.
You know, at this point in the year, they can't get today back tomorrow for Marquise Lee and Blake being on the same field together. That's the frustrating part of this entire process.
But you know what? It's league-wide sometimes. It's not everybody. But you think right now, you think somebody in Houston is not saying, oh, shut up. Last year we lost Clowney, and now we've lost Arian Foster, one of the best guys in the league. So I guess if you really pay attention to it, it kind of happens everywhere. It just happens at different times.
Right, but most teams around the league haven't won only 9 games in 3 years.
There you go.
And therefore, you assume they're operating from less of a talent base to begin with. It is what it is with Marquise Lee, to use that cliched expression.
Well, and Mike, too, the other thing is, when you've won 9 games in 3 years, you know, Dante Fowler getting hurt and Marquise Lee not seeming to be able to stay on the field and healthy feels snake. Right, that's what it feels like in Jacksonville and maybe other places where you have success. Like if Green Bay loses somebody, they say, all right, as long as it's not Aaron Rodgers, they're like, all right, we're going to keep plowing through whatever we got to. We'll deal with whatever injuries we have to and keep trying to win football games. In Jacksonville and Houston, these different places, it's a different feeling because of the level of success that those franchises have had.
Well, and it comes from the quarterback in most occasions. And, T-Week, you mentioned everybody saying Blake did so well yesterday. I think it's interesting because Hayes, Carline, when I walked out there yesterday to practice towards the end, I said, what stood out to you? He goes, I'm paraphrasing, but he said basically Blake looked outstanding today.
Mm-hmm.
Then I asked some others, and I got mixed, like, it's all right. Wasn't all, you know, that. So I don't know. I mean, from over here where we're broadcasting from, we don't see every rep. We can't be an accurate judge of how well he's performing or not. Gus Bradley seems to be happy with the progress he's making, particularly his knowledge of the offense in such a short period of time that he's put his work in to study that. But you still, two people watching the exact same practice can give you a completely different opinion on what's going on the field. So I really can't tell you how sharp he was yesterday.
And honestly, in my heart of hearts, as much as I love the game and know the game, I'm still a fan. I'm not watching it all 22. I don't know if he went the right place with the ball. I don't know if he did it fast enough. I don't know if the defense was out of position. So I just take guys' words that I trust. It seemed like everything that I saw, whether it was online or, and then I was looking at the raw stats, and I'm not a numbers guy. It's like 10 out of 14. Sounds pretty good, you know? But like I said, I don't know all of the little.
Right, 10 out of 14, and you're checking it down to the back five times, you know.
RG3 completed 68% of his passes, I believe, last year. So the numbers can lie also.
All right, T-Wig here with us as we get ready to get rolling here. Jaguars today. It does look like it's going to be a little bit steamy out there on the practice field. Middle field today. Field P, Tony, I think we determined.
Of the GPS, it's
of the GPS fields. Field P, a lot of people complaining yesterday, or at least complaining to me, a good representative sample that they're on the far field. Hey, look, they're going to rotate through them anyway. And as I think a lot of people have highlighted, this close field has the worst drainage, apparently. It was the last one with field turf. Regardless, if you come out, it's free to watch. Tomorrow's open to the public as well. And, of course, you get the scrimmage Saturday and a few practices next week. What do you guys have coming up other than training camp today? What do you have coming up on primetime?
Heavy, heavy, heavy training camp. We'll probably take a look around the league. Hacker always has some stuff for me. Obviously, we can't ignore the SEC. We're going to take a look at what's coming up with them. Maybe look at a little bit of high school recruiting as well. But it's going to be heavy, heavy Jaguars, especially if there's some news that breaks while you guys are on the air and I'm out there watching. I'm going to run back and act like I invented the story.
You are going to break it.
That's
for
right.
Us. We're going to give you full credit, writing credits, everything else that goes along.
I do have one complaint.
What's that?
Y'all better save me a dang-on crab cake
ain't
sandwich
happening
the next time.
Ain't happening. Welcome. Thanks for stopping by the Metro Diner Chad Counter. Thanks for getting here a couple minutes late so I could polish off breakfast.
All right, brother. Y'all have a good one, man.
We'll see you out there. T-Wig, yes, ladies and gentlemen, along with Josie and Hacker, XL Primetime, weekdays from noon until 3 o'clock right here on 1010 XL, 92.5 FM. All right, we are underway on this Thursday morning. Hayes Carline of the Florida Times Union going to stop by. Frank Frangie, the voice of your Jaguars, is going to stop by. Who knows who else? We'll also hear from Gus and Blake, both meeting with the media after practice yesterday, get some of their thoughts on where things stand as of right now. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you. 641-1010 is the way to get in on both the phone lines and on the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line. Tweet us at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, at 1010XL Tyler. And the question of the day, brought to you by the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships, is simply this. What are your expectations for Marquise Lee in 2015?
Yeah.
Throw it out there. We've got a lot of bummer answers already, but it's kind of tells you where the feeling is of the fan base.
Yeah, no doubt.
And Marquise. There's Dan Hicken, everybody.
Hicken.
Recognize.
A quick note to Derek March, Chris Clemens, and Dante Fowler all basically just walked out together, so I assume today's going to be another day of side work for those three guys.
It appears that way, yes. Chris Clemens is enjoying a leisurely start to training camp so far for him. But,
hey, man, you're a vet. Take it easy,
no
baby.
Doubt. Get out there and go improve on your 8 sacks from last season. We'll be very happy with that production. All right, we've got a great lineup coming your way once again today. Talking Jags live from the Florida Blue Practice Field. Where else would you want to be than Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM? I'm just going to have to break into Hayes' car line, too, Tony. We ate all the breakfast. There's no Metro Diner awaiting you, Hayes. It's not hiding under this table. It's hiding in my belly.
That's it. I'm out of here.
It's it. He's gone. We thought we had him lured over here. Hayes' car line, Florida Times Union. How are you, man?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Good to talk to you.
Absolutely.
We're doing fantastic. I'm sure you, like most of us, just glad to have something actual, tangible to report on, right?
Absolutely. And, man, we're getting close to the scrimmage Saturday. The narrative changes a little bit then, and then certainly when the Steelers
roll
into town,
yeah,
then the narrative changes a little bit more. So, yeah, it's getting to the point where there is a staleness a little bit in the off season, you know, particularly through OTAs and maybe the first few days of camp. But now you're starting to get into the swing and the you know, the momentum around the team will start to shift a little bit.
When we're 89 years old, we're going to wish we had all those months back that we wished away in the summertime.
Right.
Could we please get some boring summer back, please, for us? Marquise Lee, Hayes, I can't catch a break, apparently. I assume he's diligent about preparing himself and, you know, doing all the right things. He looks like he's in fantastic shape, right, just from glancing at him. But guy gets soft tissue injuries just by seemingly walking out on the practice field. What's the latest you're hearing about him, and how concerned do you think should Jaguar fans be that this is setting Marquise Lee back, considering, as Tony pointed out a few minutes ago, there's a new offense being installed here, and even though they had time this summer, every rep you get in training camp is you can't replace him.
Yeah, I think it is a concern, because I think he's the X factor for the offense. I think Julius Thomas will be very, very productive here. Allen Robinson, I think, is in line for a big year, too. Mercedes, I think, in a limited role, you know, can be a guy that can catch 5 or 6 touchdowns, which would be tremendous production from your second tight end. But Lee, to me, is the X factor. If Marquise Lee can really step up and live up to where he was drafted, this offense can go to a different level. And, it's going to be pretty much impossible, I think, for him to do that now early in the season, missing these 2 weeks. And yeah, it does become a concern. We saw it with Cecil Shorts, where it was just seeming like there was always something. And you just hope that that's not going to be the case with Marquise Lee. They loved his condition. He went up dramatically in weight. I think he was listed at 192 as a rookie. He was like 207 when he came into camp, which is where they wanted. That wasn't, you know, a bad off season. That was sort of, you know, the goal.
Packing on muscle.
He looked, you know, really tremendous shape. And, so we'll see. I mean, you know, I think the Jaguars believe right now it's just a week-to-week thing. I don't think they have any sort of definitive timetable on it, going off of what Ryan O'Halloran was told and what he blogged about a few minutes ago. But they need him back. I mean, to me, you need that dynamic playmaker, obviously, and he fits the bill.
Want to pass along Jared Audrick walking out while we were in that last break. Doesn't look like he's in the pad. So a Veterans Day off for Audrick today out here at Jaguars training camp. And we'll get into your article that you wrote talking about all the draft picks here in just a second, Hayes. But they've been in pads now. This is the second day they're going to be in pads. Sunday was a lot of fun just when they put the shoulder pads on. You could feel the intensity ratchet up for this football team. With everything they're trying to do installing that new offense, it feels like the engine for it is going to be that offensive line. What kind of returns have you seen early from them here in camp?
I think it looks good. They have more strength. I think they're bigger. I really like the way Parnell looks right now at right tackle. I think you're seeing strides from Linder. Jokel, I think, has been so-so to this point. But the coaches seem encouraged. And then I think the Beatles, AJ Can battle, is a good one, where they're, you know, the guy that doesn't win that will be a pretty good player. And I think the same thing at center. So I did feel more of a physical presence from the offensive line in the first couple days here, and we'll have to see how that carries through.
And you mentioned Beatles and Can, and I don't know how much of a competition there's going to be at center just because of how comfortable it feels like Wisniewski should be. You know, he's the more veteran player. He's been in Olsen's offense before. But Beatles and Can is interesting because I think Can is a more physical player, and this is a team that's early on talking about wanting to establish that run game. I'm curious how that plays for a guy like Can, who feels like he could be the more dominant player, especially in that area of a football game.
Yeah, I agree. I think it all depends on how quickly he can acclimate at a high level. I don't know that he'll be the week one guy, but I do think that A.J. Can, when they come back from London or right around there, will be in the starting lineup, even if Zane Beatles is healthy. I just feel like he is a bigger guy, and that's been a big priority with Doug Marrone, is that they wanted to get bigger, more physical, and A.J. Can is the bigger guy. So I think as soon as he can get comfortable with things, you know, I think he's the guy that you're going to see in there.
Sorry, Hayes, I was trying to get the bartender's attention here at the club. What in the world, man? I mean, I know they like the music at practice, but
this is as loud as it's been.
Apparently, the volume knob is broken today in the high-end position.
This,
wow.
This one goes to 11.
This may go beyond 11, or at 11.5 right now. Hayes Carline, Florida Times Union, here with us. I don't. You know why I don't like your article about the Jaguar draft picks? Because I didn't think of it, Hayes. I wanted, that would have been a great... why don't we think of this, Tony?
We needed this
in the middle of July.
Right.
Come on. Well, Hayes, where were you for us then? We would have loved this then, but I like what you did here, ranking the 24 remaining draft picks of the Dave Caldwell era. Of course, Ace Sanders, the only one who's not still on the team, and they're in order of their chances to stick with this roster. And obviously, some of the rankings, it doesn't really matter, because we can, right, we can whop all 15 right off the top and say they're all going to be here, right?
Right.
So it doesn't, you know, their chances are near 100% unless something crazy were to happen.
Correct.
I will pick a small bone with you. That being said, you got Cyprian at number 8.
Correct.
And no doubt he's locked in as a starter at strong safety. But I think if push came to shove and you said, Dave Caldwell, you can keep Jonathan Cyprian, Aaron Colvin, or Demetrius McCray, two of these three guys, I think you always go at the cornerbacks unless you've got such a dynamic playmaker at the safety position, maybe an Eric Weddle or a Polamalu or somebody like that. But that's just splitting hairs. How difficult was it for you to rank some of these guys compared to each other?
Yeah, it was a fun process. You know, I think with Cyprian, the biggest thing I looked at was, you know, who's behind him. And, I mean, right now the backup strong safety is Josh Evans, who was a free safety. So he's got zero chance of being knocked out of the starting lineup.
Sure.
And even though, you know, we gripe about the lack of big plays from Jonathan Cyprian, and I think it's a fair criticism, but the staff in the scouting department, they love him. I mean, they look at the tackles, 111 last year. He almost had 100 as a rookie. And to them, that means more than, you know, getting three or four picks. I mean, they kind of compare him to Cam Chancellor in that scheme. And Cam Chancellor's not a guy that gets a ton of picks and stuff like that. But he just doesn't make, you know, there's not enough forced fumbles. There's not enough plays on the ball, I think. And again, I don't think I'm alone in that opinion. But and McCray and Colvin have great futures. They're a little more, I think, deeper at corner. So that was sort of it. But you hit a good point, which is the difference between 8 and 10. Very, very
small. Right. There's probably no difference. And I'm just pointing, typically this corner is a more valuable position as a whole. And they do have options now. And how do you expect, if you were to rank the depth chart at this moment, top to bottom at the cornerback position, because I know you have Jeremy Harris pretty far down your list because of the depth that they've got at that position.
Right.
Who would be the top 5 or 6 guys?
Yeah, I mean, House, McCray, Colvin, I think Graz is probably the 4, although we have to see what goes on with his calf. I mean, you know, if he misses a bunch of time, I didn't get a chance to see if he's out here today or not. But, you know, but that, I think, creates some room. Nick Marshall's going to be a tough guy to cut from what I'm seeing. You know, and Jeremy Harris is a guy who hasn't played a lot in his first 2 years defensively, but he does have the size that they like. He is familiar with the scheme, obviously, with it being his third year. But, you know, Rashad Reynolds was a guy they liked last year in camp before he got hurt. So I do think that if there's going to be a surprise, I think corner is where it could be a surprise.
Two cornerback sets and a base defensive set. Who are your two on the field? Is it McCray and House?
I think that's who it will be. I love Colvin. You know, to me it would be House and Colvin. And McCray, I think, is a good, solid player. Colvin, to me, has the look of a really dynamic player. Now, obviously, as the nickel, he'll be on the field more than 50% of the snaps. But yeah, I think when the Steelers line up, it'll be House and McCray in the base.
We certainly know some positions are deeper than others, but from watching about a week of practice, is there anything that really jumps out as a major concern to you? Is there something you're like, uh-oh, they're so thin? We know they're thin at linebacker, for instance, but have you seen something glaring on the field that makes you worry about a particular position group?
I think linebacker is still the one for me because Kyrie Ford's done some good things, but that's still a spot where if any of those three guys go down, I think it is a major drop-off at this point, not just in talent, but in the communication. We've seen a lot of issues where, you know, Paz had a Veterans Day off a couple days ago, and there was a lot of issues in middle linebacker just trying to get everybody lined up right. So, you know, we saw that last year in the opener against the Eagles. You know, they had an issue there. Darren Sproles goes right up the middle for 42 yards on a play where Gus, you know, later admitted we probably should have gotten a timeout. So I do think those are the sort of issues at linebacker that could become a problem for them. But, you know, they still have some time left in camp to iron it out. And then, obviously, you know, they're going to have a prime waiver wire spot for the first few weeks of the season.
Right.
So, you know, you could see a guy come in and you know, be helpful, you know, giving them some quality depth. But to me right now, that's the biggest concern.
At number 24 on your article, you have Storm Johnson. And that's a guy who obviously hasn't been out at camp yet. The comments of Gus Bradley earlier in the offseason made you think that he really is a guy that is solidly on the bubble, if not on the other side of that right now with this Jaguars team. What does he need to show? How soon does he need to get back on the field to give himself a chance to be a member of this team this
year? Yeah, well, today is supposed to be his first day back, so that'll be interesting to see how they work him in. I think his best chance is to be the kick returner. You know, that's really, I think, you know, his best. He's got great running instincts. His problem is he's not great in pass protection. Now you're learning a new offense. You've missed the reps in practice over these first five practices in training camp. So, I do think he's on the outside looking in. You know, you got T.J. Yeldon, Denard, Toby Gerhart. You got a veteran in Bernard Pierce who's played a lot of snaps in the NFL. So, yeah, it's going to be a long road. But if Storm can get in there and show some things in kick return, then that, you know, that could be, you know, something that really you know, benefits them.
Hayes Carline, Florida Times Union. You should follow him on Twitter. We all do. At Hayes Carline, CARLYON, just like it sounds, all right? That's the right way to spell it. Hayes, we appreciate it. You're a good idea, man. We'd much appreciate it if you bring these ideas to us to kind of just see what we think before they go to print, right?
We all love a good list, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Well, you know what? We do, particularly at certain times of the year. But great work with that article and all your coverage of the Jags. We appreciate you stopping by this morning.
Thank you, guys. Love the show.
You got it, buddy. Oh, that's a good man right there, Tony. I didn't know anybody did, but you know what? He's kind enough to
lie to our face. I didn't
know
if Lionel poisoned him on us in the show yet or not, you know?
Don't talk to those guys. They're SOB. They think Blackman was actually talented back in the day. All right, Hayes Carline, Florida Times Union, folks, on his way out from the Metro Diner chat counter here. Jaguars today continues along. We're going to hear from Gus Bradley coming up. Going to hear from Blake Bortles coming up today. Johnny O is going to stop by. We've got this date in football history. We've got the drive around the NFL. We got tons of stuff coming your way. We'll continue live in a moment from the Florida Blue practice fields right here on Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM. I got your update. It's gorgeous out right now. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, it is beautiful out. And if you're sitting there in your cubicle at work, well, we wish you were here. We certainly do.
Sure.
We wish you were.
I'm sitting here watching the tight ends in front of us are doing a drill where they're practicing catching the ball one-handed. And watching Julius Thomas catch the ball one-handed was pretty impressive. I think he didn't drop one in the first seven or eight that I saw him thrown. It's kind of a cool little drill.
Yeah, it's nice to use two hands, but there are those occasions in the NFL when a defender is hanging on you, and you know, you just, all you're able to do is reach that one and get it on the ball. And we see some of those spectacular catches made every year, Tony, none more so than one by Odell Beckham Jr. last year.
No doubt.
You know what? I don't care if they get touchdowns, if they catch them between their knees. right? And the crook of their elbow.
That's right. They just catch it on the back of their leg.
Hold it above the ground long enough for the referee to throw those hands in the air, and then don't drop it as you fall to the ground.
That's right.
You know, no one still can understand. I think Jerry came out yesterday and said Dez caught it. Of course, Stephen Jones said a few weeks ago they made the right call.
Right.
Who knows? You know what? It's over and done with. They kind of tweaked the rule, but it doesn't seem like it changed dramatically.
It really didn't.
At all, as far as that goes. Coming up today, we'll hear from Johnny O at the top of the hour, checking in with us. John Osier from Jaguars.com. Frank Franchi next hour. But let's hear a little bit from Gus and Blake Bortles from yesterday. As Gus came in, as we wrapped up practice and opened up with this.
Good session. Your first day in full pads. I think our guys felt the heat a little bit, though. And that's what we talked about after practice. There was some straining going on. And we'll take care of them, but hopefully, you know, we get strain, and then take care of them, and then three strains in a row and take care of them, and eventually get them ready to go. So we need this. And I think for some of it, it was hard, and we want to get to the point where it's hard and fun. And not so much hard because of what they went through. But I appreciate their efforts through it. Really good situations, a two-minute situation, very taxing. Took a situation that took place last year in a game and started off in the 7-yard line, had a team meeting, went through the actual tape in the team meeting, how it all played out, and then we went out and executed it. So very, very pleased with how that went. I thought the individual periods, where the offense and defense line got together, I thought the defense had a pretty good day. And then when we did the team sessions, I thought the offense came back and did pretty well. So really pleased with how the quarterbacks are playing. Come along, still again, not there yet, but, arrows up.
You know, coming off the field yesterday, I stopped because Gus was addressing the team. And, you know, usually you wouldn't talk about things he says in those kind of moments, but he basically just echoed exactly what he was saying at the beginning of that press conference. He was yelling at this guy, look, we're going to strain, and then we're going to take care of you. Then we're going to strain, and then we're going to take care of you. Then we're going to strain,
right.
And we're going to take care of you. And he's really, he's just trying to mentally coach these guys as much as technically, you know, coach them in the finer points of the game. Just it's amazing to watch these guys buy in. I get questions all the time. Will his message ultimately wear off if they don't start winning? Well, everyone's message wears off.
Maybe, yeah.
Right?
It hasn't yet.
Right now, they're 100% bought in on what Gus is selling.
No doubt about it. Of course, the big news coming out of training camp yesterday was the injury to Marquise Lee. Gus Bradley, after practice yesterday, asked if he's concerned about Marquise Lee's hamstring injury.
Yeah, I think it's just, you know, we're trying to figure it out for him, you know, that, you know, with the hamstring. I think we'll just wait and see to what degree it is and where we go from there. I know for him it's disappointing. He really wanted to go, so we'll get it figured out. Fortunately, it's this time of year, and fortunately it's not anything season-ending or anything like that. We'll deal with it.
Gus Bradley talking yesterday after practice. You know, there wasn't much more to say at that point. They really didn't know much about Marquise Lee, and we don't have anything definitive at this point right now. Anyway, I also talked about, though, the battle at center and the timing of how that would work out, and are you going to get other guys involved if one of these guys wins the center job? Will they be open to the guy who loses it, compete for the guard spot? But he was asked about the timetable on the Wisniewski-Polanco battle specifically.
I can tell you we're not going to, if at all possible, it's not going to be the fourth week or the third week of preseason. We'd like to have that to where it plays out. But I think it's more important that we make the right decision. So, you know, we're caught a little bit in that, you know, I think we don't want to wait, but we want to make sure we give it its due process. So, you know, hopefully when we scrimmage in a preseason game or two, we get a feel for where it's at.
And it's more important at the center position probably than it is at left guard to try to have that decision earlier on in camp and in the preseason, just so since it is the guy that's going to be calling out the plays for everybody else on that offensive line, you want them to have as many reps as they possibly can in that kind of position. Gus was also asked about the other big competition on the offensive line, that at left guard was Zane Beatles and A.J. Cann, that competition between those two guys, and how the rookie, the third-round pick, has looked early on in camp.
Well, Cann, I think it's, you know, we like the qualities that he has and what he shows, his toughness, he's picking things up. His experience is what, you know, we need to get him caught up on, where Zane has that, and I think Zane has picked his level play up from where he was. So, you know, it's a good competition that's going on in there, you know, really across the board. I like Lupo Winkle said it best. He said, boy, Wiz has been really almost like a blessing to have here on the team. You know, he said he's been really good for me because he understands the system and I can talk to him and he's helped me learn the system faster. And that's why I'm telling you guys in that the competition is not between them. You know, it's the competitions with themselves and they're elevating each other. That's how it should be. And I think to me when Luke Boyinkle said that, that's very wise for his age in this game. We can get all of our guys to think like that. It's a good deal.
That has to be in the Gus Bradley top 10 Gus Bradleyism. You don't compete with each other, you compete with yourself. How many times have we heard that echoed from the players' mouths themselves? Don't they buy in to all these things he's preaching? Gus was asked about Chris Clemens continuing to miss practice and how other guys, it gives them an opportunity to show what they can do.
You know what? In some ways, you know, it's too bad that he's not out there practicing, but it gives other guys opportunities and it will strengthen our team. And, you know, guys like Chris Smith, I think we mentioned him before that he's starting to show up. If I haven't, I should be because he is starting to show up. He's doing some good things. So, you know, because of that, and if we can get stronger, I've said this before that you can never have enough rushers. And, you know, if hopefully Chris Smith can come along and Dan Scuda and Chris Cummins, we'll take them all. Ryan Davis.
Chris Smith, a guy that Brian Sexton mentioned by name last week when he sat down with us too. Gus Bradley singling him out there talking about the competition there at that Leo spot. Chris met with the media yesterday too, and he talked about where he sees himself helping the team this year.
You know, just coming off the edge. I mean, that's the main thing about it. I mean, that's what they drafted me for and things of that nature. And ever since the Senior Bowl, I've been with just the same group, you know, with Coach Gus and Coach Wash. So that's one thing about it that I'm just trying to get better each and every day. I watch other guys in the league, you know, rushing and things of that nature, and I just try to add that to my game.
Just kind of a forgotten guy a little bit, right?
Numbers, he's got a lightning-quick first step.
He really
does. And that has been apparent since he got here for rookie camp last year. He doesn't have anything else, right? Like, the rest of the skills you need to be a good pass rusher in this league, it didn't feel like he had those other tools developed at all yet, but his first step is lightning off the ball.
Look, if you can get guys that have a special trait, those are the kind of guys that maybe they're not every down players, they're just specialists for you. They're third and long situational guys, but pass rush is so important. You heard Gus say a minute ago, we'll take them all, as many as we can get that can impact the quarterback. These are the thoughts of Gus Bradley, a little bit from Chris Smith there. Now Blake Bortles, following yesterday's practice, Blake asked about his grasp of the offense after putting in work to really learn it this summer.
I feel good. Obviously still a long way to go, but I think it kind of shows in the quickness of the decisions that are made. And it's less than half a second, but I think when you sit down and watch it, you know, I know from my perspective it's noticeable. And it's really just, you know, being able to sit and meet with Nate and Ole and the quarterbacks and be able to go through everything to make those decisions faster.
It's good to hear. You need to be able to make them quick here in this league. Blake went on to talk about the biggest addition to the offense this offseason from a skill position standpoint, that being Julius Thomas in free agency and trying to build that chemistry with the big man.
Yeah, a lot. And we're trying to continue to build it. You know, we go during inside run after we're both done, and we'll go on the other field and run some stuff that we don't get a whole lot of reps at during practice. So we try and build it that way, and we'll continue to do that, you know, during practice and after practice, trying to get reps and create chemistry that way.
Blake Bortles, a couple more thoughts from him, and asked as well about, you know, year one to year two. We've talked about this with him a lot, Tony, just mentally able to take a breath this offseason. How much more comfortable does he feel now than he did last year?
You know, I think last year was kind of, you know, head was spinning. And I think this year it's kind of, it feels more normal. It feels natural. It feels like this is my job. You know, this is my workplace. And now I want to come in every day and try and focus on owning this offense and really trying to master this craft.
Yeah, that's the word I've used for Blake thus far in training camp, is comfortable. That's how he looks, especially compared to where he was last year. Now, we'll see how it transitions onto the field here over the course of the next month and going into the regular season as well. One final thought from Blake Bortles yesterday after practice, talking about the importance of taking advantage of those off days and using that time to really let your body recover.
Yeah, I think the guys realize how important it is to kind of stay on top of it and stay in tune. You know, there's not guys going out and goofing off and stuff on the off days. Guys are taking it seriously and recovering and getting their bodies right so they can come back and be ready for the next, you know, four-day stint.
Yeah, you wonder. So that's always the debate. Players talk about, hey, you know what, we work hard. We earn the right to play hard. But I think that doesn't translate to a lot of fans. A lot of fans are like, you get paid an exorbitant amount of money. You get months off.
Well, I think,
come and work
right
during training camp.
There's a balance, right? There's a balance between you know, the idea of, you know, these guys do work really hard. They get paid well enough that if they get a day off, they can do whatever the heck they want to on that day. And it's that balance between I want to go have a really good time and I want to be ready for tomorrow.
Right, I want to be smart.
Right, and it's, you know, maybe that means that you don't go out and drink. You're allowed to.
Or maybe you have a couple instead of a couple dozen.
You can go do whatever you want. You're a man. You're a grown-up. You're getting paid well. Go spend the money however you want to. But there's also that balance of I need to be responsible to myself and my teammates, and I think that's something that Blake was saying there, is that there is this accountability on this team right now between these guys.
All right, so the thoughts of Blake Bortles, Chris Smith, Gus Bradley following yesterday's practice. Coming up next, this date in football history, the drive around the NFL, and Johnny O pops in with us as well. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you live at the Florida Blue practice fields. Jaguars Today continues in a moment on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Now, Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history brought to you by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. Let's go back to 1983, Tony. They're playing in London.
Hey!
Back in 1983 at the NFL Expo, the Vikings beat the St. Louis Cardinals at that time, 28-10 in an NFL exhibition game. Famous birthdays for this date, couple semi-famous birthdays. C.J. Mosley, former Jaguar, turns 32 years old today. I think now he's in Miami. Mm-hmm. Played in Detroit the last few years. And Trey Mason. How old's Trey Mason, Tony?
22.
22 years young. My goodness, Trey Mason. Life all out in front of you, except for that Todd Gurley guy blocking your way in St. Louis.
I didn't know that. I was just guessing.
You're correct. He's 22 years old, born in 1993. This state football history brought to you by Dr. McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. They're located on Gate Parkway, featuring, among other things, the Somnimed Stop Snoring Custom Fit Mouth Guard. You got to try it. Your loved ones are going to love you for it. Call 620-9225 to book an appointment with Dr. McCall. Check out jamesjmccall.com. for a complete list of his comprehensive care services. That is this date in football history.
Now, the drive around the NFL on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Arizona Cardinals wide receiver Michael Floyd reportedly dislocated three fingers on his left hand during the team's training camp practice yesterday. The timetable for his return is 3 to 4 weeks, which means he probably won't be playing any football for the Cards in the preseason. It was originally thought the three fingers were broken, which would have put an approximate six-week timetable on his return. To quickly update a story from yesterday, Houston Texans running back Arian Foster is expected to have a sports hernia surgery on Friday. The normal recovery for that type of injury is around 3 months. And a handful of Tom Brady's emails have been made public after his case against the NFL and Roger Goodell has gone federal. Included in those emails are a couple that the Boston Globe printed yesterday, with Brady talking about his rivalry with Peyton Manning. In one, Brady says that he has 7 or 8 years left, while Manning has only 2. And then another, blogger Jay Flannelly tells Brady candidly, quote, that Manning needs things to be perfect to succeed, weather his system, etc.
So it means he's just like the rest of us, right?
Right.
They're human. They snipe a little bit. It's a rivalry. I could care less what he says, honestly, about Peyton Manning. That's not salacious enough, put it that way, for me to get all worked up. I don't understand how that finds its way into the official file on Deflategate, though. How does that, you know, have anything to do with it?
I don't
even
know.
Tangentially, I have no idea.
And you wonder if we would have ever heard anything about any of that, right, if it hadn't gone federal.
Exactly.
You know,
you know what? They said the NFLPA wanted it open, and the NFL was the one who wanted it closed. What's the term I'm looking for?
I don't know
what I'm saying.
Sealed.
The seal. Thank you. And I don't know. To me, the few little things about Brady and they're talking about, like Mark Brunell and stuff, whatever, man. He's a human being. That stuff doesn't bother me. It's the dirty cheating that bothers me. All right, playing our next guest, Tyler.
It's time for Oh No's with Jaguars.com's John Osher.
Oh No's.
Presented by Florida Pump Service on Jaguars Today.
He's the only guy big enough to have his own little intro
Florida.
Jingle. Huh?
Florida Pump Service. You raised two hands?
Yes. Raise the pump service, baby. Johnny O from Jaguars.com. How are you, sir?
I guess the Brady stuff is, that's what happens when you make a federal case out of something. Right?
Oh! That sounds like the kind of joke I would make, but I wasn't smart enough to get
through
it.
That's why people
first.
Were so worried about that.
Everyone's scooping me today. Hayes scooped my brilliant idea to rank the draft picks, and now John's taking my jokes for me. Unbelievable, man. What do we see? Early portion of practice today, anything notable so far?
not much because we're not quite into team, and that's when you really start noticing. But you know, one thing you do notice again and again and again, and this isn't news, it's just something that sort of reinforces itself. Julius Thomas has great hands now, and he makes catches that should look tough look easy. He just had one, you know, I'm making too much out of it, making a federal case out of it. It's probably in Brady's email.
He's going to well a couple
but,
times now.
You know, 15 yards downfield, the ball's a little bit behind him, you know, sort of on the back of his neck a little bit. Just snatches it, makes it look easy. So, you know, you can tell why this guy caught a bunch of touchdowns in Denver. You can tell why you wanted to sign him. He's a natural in terms of pass catching and, you know, again, hard to imagine him not having an impact. But that's one thing you just sort of notice out here is how easy he makes it look.
The question is, have you met his dad yet?
I've seen his dad. Haven't really made
He just come by. Yet. We're like, who is this guy?
Yeah.
Right? This guy comes by. He's got a Jaguar backpack with a Jaguar laminated tag that says Julius Thomas on it.
2011.
Right, Julius but I didn't Thomas. See the date at the yeah. time. It's the 2011 Julius Thomas. And so he comes up and he's showing us this tag. He comes right up to the table, and we're like in the middle of the right, – I take my headset off. I'm like, I'm on a live radio show. He goes, oh, you are? And we still don't know who he is, sure. And he walks away. Then we go to break, and we see the guy standing off to the side. We say, come here, all right, what were you trying to tell us? And it's his dad.
Okay.
And he said at the combine, the Jags gave Julius Thomas a Jaguar backpack with his laminated own name tag, like, hey, when we draft you, here's what it's going to look like. Here's your gear. And I said, come on now, you probably got one from the Bengals, the Browns. He goes, no, only one that did that for Julius. I don't know, you know, how extensively they did that, but he told us he moved to the First Coast. The family moved here.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, to support, right. And he's super excited to be here. So we asked him, you know, what has Julius told you about? Has it met his expectations? Does he like the environment? He goes, oh, my goodness. He goes, he loves it here. He said, the big thing for him is that, you know, in Denver, he kind of had to be the little kid who sat in the back of the class because he had all these veterans. He goes, now here, they appreciate what I have to say. They take my advice. I can be a leader. And he just loves the fact that he can impact this team,
and
not only on the field, but on
that
the side.
The right way. Now, you know, I think what's notable there is he seems to be doing that the right way. There's a right and wrong way to do that sort of thing. You can come in and all of a sudden guys are going,
you're not the boss of me.
All right, enough.
Yeah.
But to me, from seeing him at an arm's length, the way he's approached it, the way he's approached when he's talking to the media, sounds pitch perfect in terms of that. I think he sort of knows, too, it's fine to come in and talk. But I think he also knows there's not – you'd be careful quite how much you talk until you do it here. So I think he's stepping at the right pace, if you will. So what's so noticeable about him and the whole free agency class is that so far you haven't seen any where you go,
not what we expected.
That's not what we expected.
Right.
And there are cases, you know, when Aaron Ross and LaRon Robinson were here, big-time free agents, there was even a little bit of a feeling early of, oh, I don't know. And I think that was maybe more outside. You watched him practice.
LaRon
not on
struggled
the field.
Right from the get-go.
Yeah, you're not seeing that. And I'm not saying that to slam on those guys. But everybody knows there are situations where free agents come in and it just doesn't click. There's probably 7, if you count Wisniewski guys, they sign that people are expecting a lot out of. So far, there aren't any guys where you sort of to yourself go, okay, probably not that one. I don't think all 7 of them will be, you know,
superstars.
Absolute stands out.
Yeah, sure.
But if you get 5 out of those 7 doing what we think it is, then all of a sudden you're a lot better at what? 25% of your roster.
Right.
So
your lineup.
Yeah, so that's the reason for some optimism and for some feeling that this team might feel more solid, more veteran, more ready than maybe a team that usually goes through the free agency process.
John,
I'm not a big believer in free agency, but this looks okay.
Yeah, a guy that you and I have talked about a lot this week, and I won't even say we jinxed him because this is just the way things go for Marquise Lee, but the injury yesterday in practice, the being talked about as week to week, who knows how long he'll actually be out. They'll obviously take it easy with him at this point in the season, trying to get him ready for week 1 and hopefully the entire season for this Jacksonville Jaguars team, but the story remains this frustrating thing surrounding Marquise Lee where these soft tissue injuries just keep popping up.
Well, and I don't really know if we know exactly what the issue was off season. It was knee. I don't know how soft tissue it was. There was never really a whole lot about that. But yeah, hamstrings. First OTAs he was here last year during the season, and now. So as much as you can say and be factually correct that it really hasn't, I didn't think his time missed looked like it had set him back very much in the 4 days he was out here. So I don't know that the time that he's missed has necessarily had that much of a detrimental effect on him, but now it's again. So as I wrote a couple times yesterday, until he's on the field and makes this not a story, it's something that we have to talk about and that fans, I think, legitimately sort of go, oh, geez, here we go again. You know, so I don't know that it has to affect him long term, but it's something we got to watch now.
John Osier here with us from Jaguars.com, of course, at John Osier on Twitter. Yesterday, Tony and I wrapped up the show, and practice is still going on. As I'm making my way out there, I stopped by and talked with Hayes Carline at the Times Union. I said, you know, what has stood out to you? He goes, Blake's looked phenomenal today.
Yeah.
Okay. I went around to the other side. I talked to Logs. Log, I said, this is the characterization Hayes gave it. But how would you describe it? He goes, been okay. You know, it wasn't quite as exuberant. Two different people can stand there and watch and see two different things. What did you see from Blake yesterday?
I wrote about it on Jaguars.com and thought it was his best practice. But I think the significant thing is that it was his best practice, I thought, but it wasn't something that seemed like an outlier. It wasn't like he went 20 for 20 and threw, you know, 15 passes that were over 15 yards into a tight area. He just looked better. And much the same way he's looked better to all of us the last three or four days, last 4 or 5 days, he looks significantly better than he did early in OTAs. As Dave Call said the other day, night and day better than he did last year during training camp. But if it was just one time where you were going, wow, these are great spirals now, or wow, this is, you know, but that's not what it is. It's what you expect from him, which he's not going to be a spiral guy in practice, but he was making the right reads. He threw three or four passes that were 7 and 8 yards out, one to Aurelius Ben to start that two-minute drill everybody was talking about. He did the stuff that you know he's going to have to do during the games. He looked like you hope he will look during games where he's not spectacular, but he's doing the quarterback things that you need to win a game. So I think that's what's significant, is that when you asked Gus about, boy, what about this practice, Gus was like, yeah, he's stacking them up. And it's one more practice. It didn't seem to everybody like it was spectacular, but it was another one where he looked good. And you really don't talk to anybody who's been here who doesn't think that the body of work, and it's a five-day body of work, doesn't look a lot better and a lot more, I guess the phrase I'm looking for is, like something you can trust. It looks more like something
repeatable, consistent,
that you think will be there as time goes on. It all disappeared last year at some point, so I don't know. You know, you can't say how long it'll last, but he was trying to find something that he could trust and take into the season and rely on. So far, 4 or 5 practices, he seems to be a little more consistent than last year. I got to think that was his ultimate goal.
Last minute here with you, John. You mentioned Aurelius Ben. You know, we understand the numbers game at wide receiver, but he's turning some heads, I think,
yeah,
you know, because he's healthy right now. What kind of odds do you give him to make this roster?
Well, you always hesitate to put too much into one drill in training camp. I remember when I was in the ninth grade, I worked as the sixth man once on my basketball team, and I was the 14th guy on the bench. So let's not put too much into it. And I was that
a lot. That's a great day for you, wasn't it?
Oh, it was a big day. I thought I was sixth man.
You still remember it to this day.
I was all naive, thought I was going to play. Scored 1 point that season. But but yesterday when Marquise was out, Aurelius Ben was working with the ones and looked like a guy that Blake didn't hesitate to throw the ball to, and caught the ball when it was thrown his way, looked like a pro receiver, which he should after 5 years. I would be surprised if he's not the fifth receiver.
There you go. Aurelius Ben, who is a Frangie favorite, as we know, with their Illinois ties.
Well, he might be a guy. Here's a second-round pick who has the ability, clearly. He may be one of those guys. I don't think he's going to be a 10-year guy here, but he may be one of those guys that you always see all of a sudden has a productive year or two for a team when you thought he was sort of out of it.
Right.
Maybe it was just injuries. Maybe this is a guy they can have a fine. To build a roster, you have to have fines who produce for you that aren't first, second, third round picks and high profile free agents. You got Alan Hearns. Maybe Ben is another guy like that.
What, other than the Ozone mailbag, are you writing about next on Jaguars.com?
Hey, what more do you need, baby?
I don't need anything.
Yeah, you're
more,
promoting
but,
it.
But the people
promoting
need
the Ozone.
More. I'm promoting everything for you, Johnny, here.
Probably thinking about writing Gerhardt today, in the next couple of days.
Dear Toby.
I think he's interesting. Here's a guy you thought was out of it at the end of last year, and now every time you see him, he's playing well. You know, maybe so overlooked that he's underrated at this point. So we'll see.
All right, there he goes, John Osier. Never underrated because we always consider him at the very top.
Not even rated.
Just one notch below Lock. Right there. I mean, he's closing. He's closing, Tony. He's closing the gap is what he's doing. Johnny, good to see you. Get out there.
All right, guys.
Go watch some more practice. Ball's in the air. John Osier, Jaguars.com, the senior writer, stopping by. Training camp rolling on here. Frank Franchi will join us. Saw Prisco roaming around out there, Tony, from the looks of things.
Mm-hmm.
So he's in the neighborhood. That was so cool, Julius Thomas's dad. I thought that was a fun little.
And we got a tweet from Kevin, who's actually sitting out here in the stands, and apparently Julius's dad went into the stands after he got done talking. He's meeting all the fans and stuff.
Yeah.
And hanging out with everybody.
He's so happy. He looked so happy to be here, didn't he?
He really did.
What's up, Greg? We'll get Greg on the show sometime, man. He's a new Jacksonvillian, so welcome to town to the Thomas family. We'll take a quick time out here. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you. We've got Frank Franchi on the other side as we continue live from the Florida Blue practice fields. Jaguars Today rolls on 1010XL 92.5 FM. I don't know if it's Metro Diner, but something smells good out here.
It does.
Doesn't it? A little breeze wafting some aroma.
Yeah, it's the grill.
Our way. I know it's not French. He's sitting down across from us. He's out there getting his sweat on like everybody else out there, man. If there was one guy, yesterday, I go out there. I told you Coughlin would have chewed you out so bad. They had a bench out there.
Yeah.
But in the media area around the practice field, and you and Logs and Buscelli are just taking up residence on this bench, and so I told you, Coughlin, first of all, that bench would be nowhere to be found.
Right, that's true.
He would have a chalked off 2x3 foot area that six people would have to stand in.
Right.
And then he'd practice on the far field from that area is what he would do. But if there was one guy that when it started to sprinkle yesterday that I thought would be the first to perhaps concern themselves with what that would do to their hair, I thought of you. Frank.
I jumped around. I looked left. I looked right. Okay.
You played it well, though. You know, it was coming at an angle.
So I backed into the fence.
You backed into the fence, and you were fine.
I held my head back. Okay. Backed into the fence, Tony. Held the head back is what you did. And I sat down, by the way, only after seeing Logan and Buscelli there for a while. Yeah,
make sure it wasn't a trap.
That's exactly right. I wasn't getting baited into it. So
this is not a setup.
I laid out of it. That's right.
It's the former players bench here and nothing else. I don't know where that came from, man, but you talk about extending the fan and media friendliness to an all-time high. Frank, Marquise Lee, it's just, yeah, I feel bad for the guy. It's not like it's through lack of effort or, I don't think, preparation or anything like that. The guy looks like he's in phenomenal shape, and you go out there and you run a pattern, your body betrays you. It's not like he's letting the team down, but the fans are just getting antsy with him now and just, here we go again. And it's understandable, but it's just a shame that this guy can't seem to get in a rhythm.
There are players who get hurt a lot, whether their muscles are wound tighter, whether they're the configuration of their body, whether they don't prepare properly or proper nutrition, I don't know. There are guys that get hurt a lot. So the whole question now about Marquise, Mike, has become, is he one of those guys? Nobody wants to believe he is. After all the bad luck they've had with drafting receivers over the years, the last thing you want to think is this guy that can take the top off the defense might be one of those guys who's injury prone. I still think it's too early. I know he got hurt a little bit at the end of the SC and then last year. It's still too early to label him. But, yeah, it's naive not to think people are thinking, boy, I hope he's not one of those guys. It's too early to tell. But I think it's fair to suggest that people are going to ask that question. We all asked it.
Sure.
When he went off yesterday, we all said, gosh,
here we go again.
Yeah, I hope he's not that guy. Now, we've also seen guys that kick that. They get hurt 2 or 3 years in a row, and then they play 7 or 8 years.
Sure.
So, but there are guys that are hurt a lot, and gosh, I hope he's not one of those guys. For him, for this team, for the fact that he's different. They have a lot of good young receivers, but he's different. He's one guy that's different than the others.
No, he really is. He is the top off the defense guy, and I don't know that they have another one of those. I think they have a lot of complementary pieces, but they don't have that guy that scares you deep. If it's not Marquise Lee, at least not on the roster right now, it wouldn't appear. And look, he had to answer the questions this offseason too. You can go back to the comments he made about he feels like he knows how to handle injuries this year because of what he dealt with last year. He was being asked that because he was going to miss practice in the OTAs and in minicamp. It's just, it's a recurring theme with Marquise.
And you know, Tony, he's not only the fast guy, he's the stop and start guy.
Yep.
He's a guy that's good at running reverses. He's a guy that could probably be a good punt returner if he stayed on the field. And they don't have a lot of those guys. You know why? Because nobody's got a lot of those guys. There's not that many of them out there. So, no, hopefully he comes back. That's a very, very few things in my mind have gone wrong since this thing started. That's the only area of concern since they got on the field 7 days ago.
Now, one guy that has been doing right is your guy from Illinois, Mr. Aurelius Benton. First of all, didn't he go through a phase where he wanted to be called Regis?
His nickname is Regis, R-E-J-U-S, not G-I-S, R-E-J-U-S. And I think that's what his friends still call him. I think his position is, you want to call me Aurelius, that's what my real name is, but the people close to me call me Regis. So, yes.
All right. So that's cleared up. The most important thing's cleared up. We're just talking to Johnny O about it. Numbers game at wide receiver, certainly there, but he's impressed, I think. Some people, what are his chances?
When you really learned how they feel about him is when Marquise went out yesterday and they went 11 on 11, 2 minute. All the starters were in there. I mean, it was the starting line you'd expect with Wisniewski. It was T.J. Yeldon at running back, Bortles, of course. It was Robinson, Hearns, Julius Thomas at tight end, and Ben. So Ben was the guy in there when Marquise Lee could not play. That, I think, told me volumes. It was not Rashad Green. Now, Rashad just got here, and ultimately will be their third guy. But it was not Rashad Green. It was not Washington. It was not Copeland. It was Aurelius Ben. So that tells me, as a receiver, Mike, he's ahead of the other guys. Now, Gus made it very clear 2 days ago when we asked him about Ben. He said, look, if you're fighting to be the fifth guy, you got to play a lot of special teams. Now, he gives you size on special teams, so is that what you need in the specific special teams? But I don't know that Aurelius Ben has played a lot of special teams in terms of gunner, protection, and that will be the question. I think right now, with Marquise Lee gone, he's the third best receiver. That's what he is right now. He's the third best receiver. But if you're going to be the fourth or fifth guy, you've got to play special teams. And I think that's what will determine what they do with him.
And there's a lot of questions about how exactly they're going to put together this roster this year, because this is a team that's going away from the fullback. They're not going to carry one. I know they're out there doing some short yardage right now. I heard Tyson Alualu was actually running as the fullback in the backfield with the ones during that drill today. But it makes it a bit more interesting trying to figure out. You could carry six wide receivers if you wanted to. I don't know if they want to carry six of those or if they want to carry five running backs, but they have that little bit of flexibility, and it makes you think that maybe a guy like Ben, if they really do feel like they can't trust Marquise Lee's health, especially as we go through camp, if they think he is their third best receiver, maybe he doesn't have to do as much on special teams, at least to make the 53 originally.
And by the way, Tony, I asked him, and I called him Regis, by the way. I asked him when
saw him. Well, that's because
you're tight. We're buds. We're boys. But I did say, what do you think? He said, for the first time since I've been a pro, I'm healthy. It is not since it is at no time in my NFL, my short NFL career, have I been healthy. For the first time, I'm healthy. So that factors into it. To your point, Tony, I think they're going to keep four tight ends. I think they're obviously going to keep Mercedes and Julius Thomas. I think Clay Harbor is off to a good start. He's bigger. He's thicker.
Mm-hmm.
I think Nick Jacobs ultimately will be the guy that Tyson Alualu was today in short yardage. I think he'll be the up back. And I think they'll try and hide Koyak on the practice roster because I think they like him. So I think they're going to keep four tight ends active and a fifth guy in the practice roster. So that is an odd configuration of your roster. The fullback missing changes a lot of stuff. Yeah.
Look, eventually the mindset's going to change to seventh-round picks are going to be fighting an uphill battle to make this football team anyway, right? So you want to get to the point where you're like, wow, how is this guy, when you draft him, how's this guy ever going to make this team? And that means your roster.
Maybe he sticks around on a practice squad for a year, and the next year it's make or break, bro.
Right.
I mean, you're going to make this team, and you're going to be going
somewhere else. That's the reality in most places in the NFL.
And by the way, speaking of late round draft picks and roster spots and receivers, Tony, to the point about Ben, they really like Neil Sterling. He's going to factor in. They're not sure what he is, I think. Is he a really big receiver? Do you add 15 more pounds and he's a move tight end? I think he's trying to learn that. I think they're trying to learn that. But he's a guy that will factor into that whole wide receiver picture, I think.
He looked good in rookie minicamp. He looked like the best receiver that they had in rookie minicamp at the time. And, you know, that's a small sample size. Frank, we'll end with this. More Blake Bortles talk. And, again, generally being praised for having his best practice yesterday. John Osier said that. Hayes Carline thought he was outstanding yesterday. From what you've seen, are you seeing the development that you expect and hope for out of Blake so far?
Yeah, you know, I said this on our show yesterday. In the practices I've seen, and I've seen most of them, at least most of the preseason ones, maybe not during the season, but of the last year's mini camp, rookie mini camp, real mini camp, OTAs, camp, this year all the same stuff, yesterday is the best practice I have seen Blake Bortles have for what I know to look for, and that is looks good in the pocket, ball comes out, ball's tight, ball's on the money. I don't know if he's looking at the right guy or looking off the wrong, but for what I know to look for, yesterday's the best practice I've seen him have since he's been a Jacksonville Jaguar. By far for me. By far, that's the most he's looked like a veteran NFL quarterback that did all the right things. I thought he was, by his standards, by what we've created and believed, I thought he was by far better yesterday. I thought he looked really good yesterday. I particularly that 2-minute drill, which is his strength anyway. I thought he looked really, really good. Really good.
Well, now the challenge is to go out there and have an even better one today. You know, you can't have that up and down and up and down.
I know we got picked by Colvin in 11-on-11 a few minutes ago.
Well, you know what, Colvin? We want Colvin to make some plays.
Yeah,
too.
No doubt.
What I mean, it's tough because you listen around the league and you're like, what does this mean? Mariota hasn't thrown an interception for five days. Well, hell, Geno Smith didn't throw an interception for 5 days. You know, I don't think that makes him better than some guys that have thrown some. Blake's always going to be taking, to some degree, some chances out there, but just eliminate the dumb ones. Eliminate some of the obvious ones he had last year, the head scratchers.
Right.
And, you know, you got enough playmakers. Flip that touchdown to interception ratio around, and we'll be off and running. Frank Franchi, the voice of your Jacksonville Jaguars. Frank Franchi with a cast of many in the afternoons. I can't even keep track of.
Me neither. Me neither.
You got Mark.
We don't lock the door. They come in,
Amanda, Country. I'm sure there are a few interns working hard on the behind the scenes.
That's
know.
What those bleachers are for. It's for our show.
Understood.
That's what we got.
Understood. Frank, good to see you, bud. We'll talk to you, I'm sure, coming up in the next few days.
All right, boys. Thanks.
There he goes. Frank Franchi, voice of your Jacksonville Jaguars here with us. Jaguars Today continues live from the Florida Blue practice fields. When we come back, we'll take a look at the question of the day brought to you by the Tom Bush family of dealerships, simply asking you, what are your expectations for Marquise Lee in 2015? I wonder what we would have gotten had we asked this before yesterday's practice compared to today's. But nonetheless, that's what's out there for you, and we'll get into that coming up with you. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Tyler Devitt back at 1010XL World Headquarters. Jaguars Today rolls on here from the Florida Blue practice. Practice fields on 1010XL 92.5 FM. All right, coming down the home stretch for us today, live out at the Florida Blue practice fields. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you as the Jags are on the center field today. It looks like primarily for some of their team stuff. The quarterbacks are throwing on the near field earlier, Tony. So, again, most that you try to stack up the data points, as Bob Harris, the football diehards, always tells me. And the data points seem to indicate that most observers are in agreement that Blake Bortles is starting to put together a string of better practices. Dave Caldwell said it looked like night and day this year compared to last year. And, you know, that's the thing. Ultimately, we want that line to be better. We want all these things to be better. Quarterback's got to take a big leap forward in 2015.
No doubt. No doubt. That's what it's all about. And we talk about everything else that needs to be better around him to make that a little bit easier. But, look, this is a guy. He's the number three pick in the NFL draft. He's the first quarterback to come off the board last year. They talked about him being a guy that they expected to develop, maybe not be a short-term top 10 or 15 quarterback, but that's what the expectation is for Blake Bortles, and I think 2015 is a big, big step on the way to that kind of success for him in this league.
It's so funny because judgments are made so quickly, right, by the media. So quick, and by fans as well. And, you know, NFL's not for long. Well, you don't even get a chance to establish yourself in some cases. Everyone is written the story now that, well, the Jags should have drafted Bridgewater, they should have drafted Derek Carr, and they're basing it on 13 games in a season where they knew that Blake was going to be unprepared to step into play at the level that he needed to make this team a consistent winner. I was told by somebody at the NFL Network that there are folks there who feel flat out that the Jags missed on the pick. How can you have determined that already? It seems beyond me.
It really is.
Look, I get if you're just looking at the raw numbers, you're like, wow, 11 touchdowns, 17 interceptions, the bad quarterback rating, that's bad. But you got to go beyond that. And certainly the circumstances, not excuses, but they are reasons for, you know, some of Blake's lack of effectiveness last year, and we don't need to go through all of them again, but, you know, when you're running for your life, when your entire receiving core practically is playing in their first NFL games as well, you shouldn't expect the big numbers to come rolling out for Blake, but all early signs indicate he's ready to take that big step, at least here in 2015. The Tom Bush Family of Dealerships brings you the Fan Feedback Spotlight. Jacksonville, there's really never been a better time to drive a BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Tom Bush BMW has great deals for a limited time on all 3 Series sedans. The 3 Series BMW has set the standard for performance luxury cars for generations, and now you can own one at an amazingly affordable price. You'll be surprised just how affordable luxury can be. Test drive a new 3 Series BMW at Tom Bush BMW, Orange Park, and Jacksonville, and always online at TomBushBMW.com. Check them out again at TomBushBMW.com. The question of the day that we remembered today, I remember to post on Facebook and Twitter before we came out here, was what are your expectations for Marquise Lee? So let me ask you, Tony, what are your expectations and what are your hopes for Marquise Lee? Not necessarily the same thing.
It's hard, right? Like it's hard to pinpoint exactly. You know, from a numbers perspective, I have no idea what to expect out of Marquise Lee this year. I think that I want to see him be that difference maker for this. I want to see him make, at the end of the year, I want to look back at 4 or 5 plays that Marquise Lee made and go, nobody else on this team could do that. And I'm excited about seeing that some more in 2016 from this guy. But I think that's really my expectation is, I don't know if there's a number for me necessarily with Marquise Lee. It's an impression that I want him to leave on me coming out of this season when everything is said and done.
You know, my hope is that he's just available to play every week, right, and not restricted in any way, which would mean that this likely needs to be the last injury situation he deals with going forward, because if he gets hurt again in the preseason, now you're pushing up against the start of the regular season, right?
Right.
And you're going to really want to slow that down. And I do think it affected him last year, being in and out, not being able to get all those reps. Everything was so new. And, you know, you got a new offense and all those things you can learn somewhat on the sideline. My expectation for Marquise Lee is right now, frankly, not that high. He's got to show it to us at this point. And, again, I'm far from writing off Marquise Lee. Don't get me wrong, but I'm with everybody else that and the next time you hear a Jaguar tweak something, you're going to expect it's him, right? That's just the way it is, and
yep.
Until he proves for an extended period of time that he can stay healthy, I think a lot of people are going to look at it that way. So with that in mind, I have a feeling what kind of reaction we got today, but what is some of the reaction we got on Twitter?
From Irish Jaguar, 500 yards, 3 touchdowns. From Christoph, when he's on the field, he needs to dominate, but I'm worried he is the new Cecil Shorts. From Kevin, that is Hammy's holdout to practice for a week, be getting hurt, and play half a season. From Nick, not much. Expected him to play 16 games this season, but that looks like a stretch now. Best stability is availability. From Eric, just to stay healthy. If he does, production will come. From Russ, 2 days of practice followed by 2 weeks off. From Demetrius, I'm not sure he even gets the starting nod opposite Robinson. In my opinion, Hearn's availability is going to limit his 2015 playing time.
I think that's reasonable to expect at this point in time. Let's see, on Facebook, here we go. Marquise Lee's family weighing in. Jamie starting off with, I think he will be great. So there you have it. There's some positivity. Chris Brown said, pull hammy here, strain calf there, a whopping 16 receptions, 1 touchdown, 6 drops. He'll play 4 or 5 games if we're lucky. Wow. I mean, that, and look, I there's obviously a lot of hyperbole going on, but that's kind of the nature of when you get guys like this. Your fan base comes to expect it and really not expect much out of them in the way of productivity. Shane Cash says, if he just plays 12 or 13 games, I'll be happy. Hashtag Jaguars today. Josh Richburg, to play the whole season. Fingers crossed. Richard Norton's expectation simply to play. John went with hope, followed by crushing disappointment. Oh, sorry, pulled a hammy, have to go ice. He actually cut the word disappointment off in half because he couldn't even get through his sentence without the hammy pull. And then here we go. Damon, who's always positive. Let's see, this will be the true test here. Damon Austin,
All right.
Expect Marquise Lee to be a number three receiver at the end because he's slowly becoming Cecil Shorts the third 2.0. Dude has so much darn potential, but just can't stay healthy. But I expect he'll play 10 out of 16 with 50 receptions for 577 and 4 TDs. And then he does hashtag at 10 and 6, 11 and 5, just watch, which is Damon's thing. Not expecting Marquise to be the difference, I think, in going from 3 to 10 wins. But I'll tell you, here's the problem. 50 receptions for Marquise Lee. If it 50 would be a number I would take right now, I think. But I want,
me too.
I want closer to 800 yards on those 50 receptions. He doesn't have to average 20, but he can't average 11 either. You know, he's got to be a field stretcher at least to some degree for this football team. We saw it just in glimpses last year. Not only that, we've talked about just on those short routes, get the ball in his hands, be a guy who's tough to deal with in space.
Absolutely. Like I said, for me, it's not necessarily a numbers thing. It's the impression he leaves on me after the season. I know we got somebody on the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line asking, well, what if he doesn't leave that impression? Then, look, we'll talk about that next offseason.
Right.
Right. I mean, but just because he got hurt in practice yesterday doesn't mean he's not going to be effective for this football team. And we'll make a judgment on Marquise Lee's 2015 season when his 2015 season is done. And it hasn't even really gotten started yet. So we'll hold judgment on those kind of questions for a little while. A
couple others on the Boston's Restaurant Sports Bar text line. Lee, you ask? I expect survival, or hope for, anyway. And then somebody follows up with, why no talk on Allen Hurns? He did lead them in TDs. It's not that there's no talk about Allen Hurns. I think we do recognize Allen Hurns, but I think it's the draft position. They took Marquise Lee ahead of Allen Robinson. They felt like, wow, this guy's so much of a value here. He's the Biletnikoff Award winner as a sophomore in college. He is a guy with a lot of name recognition that had he gone in the first round, not many people would have batted an eye last year. So it's because of that. It's because Allen Hurns has already exceeded expectations. Just making a team as an undrafted rookie is exceeding expectations in a lot of circles. And then to lead the team like he did in yardage last year as a wide receiver, albeit a league low team-leading total, still performed better than any wide receiver from start to finish last year. Allen Hurns is doing his thing. He's out here. Blake Bortles has talked about him. The consistency that he shows, play in, play out, that he's grasping this offense very fast, that he plays much more like a veteran out there than you have any right to expect from a second-year player. So, to me, the less talk about Allen Hurns, the better. Allen Hurns is steady Eddie. He's never going to have too many of those practices where he absolutely blows you away. Had the big catch yesterday from Blake.
Yeah.
But he's just going to go out there, and sometimes you're going to scratch your head and say, how does he do that? How does he, you know, how does he get behind the secondary like that? He doesn't have the blazing speed, but he's a good route runner. He knows what he's doing out there, and it looks like so far early impressions are he's building off a strong rookie year.
No, it does. And, look, I think the difference is, like you said, the expectations because of draft position for those two guys. I mean, one of them's undrafted. The other guy's a high-end second-round pick. I think we talk about guys who do something special, right? And we talk about Marquise Lee's ability to take the top off of defense. I think Hurns showed flashes of that kind of thing last year, but he's not a make-you-miss guy like Marquise Lee is. Like, you see that quickness that Marquise has, and they don't have anyone else that does it quite like Marquise.
He's an ankle breaker.
Right, you just want him on the field because he does have the ability to get behind somebody and make the guy in front of him miss at the same time. I think Allen Hurns is a solid football player. I think Marquise Lee could be a special type of athlete on a football field if he can stay healthy enough and put it together. I think Hurns, you're seeing what he's going to be. That's not bad. It's not a knock on Allen Hurns. It's the expectation for what you could potentially see out of Marquise Lee that makes the conversation shift towards Marquise as opposed to a guy like Allen Hurns.
Yeah, and that and the fact that, once again, he got hurt yesterday, you know, puts
right.
him in the spotlight once again.
Another chapter in that storyline.
We didn't talk about Allen Robinson today. That doesn't mean Allen Robinson is not continuing to stack up good practices.
He's good.
He is, right?
Yeah.
He's good. And so Allen Hurns, trust me, the coaching staff is well aware of what he's capable of doing. And as of right now, he's a good bet to open the season opposite Allen Robinson as a starting wide receiver for this football
team. Yeah.
All right, that's going to do it for us today. I'd like to thank Hayes Carline of the Florida Times Union for checking in with us today. Johnny O, John Osier from Jaguars.com. Frank Frangie, the voice of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Catch him this afternoon with the crew on the Frank Frangie Show. Am I forgetting anybody? Greg Thomas for stopping by and chatting with us on the break.
Yeah.
We should, if he's out here tomorrow, I'm going to try to get him on the show. Julius's dad, cool story if you missed it earlier. Go back and listen to the on-demand replay. But in a nutshell, had a backpack that the Jags gave Julius at the combine, going back to 2011 when he was coming out. He had saved it, and he's just like, you know, funny, small world. It's the only team that did something like that for him, and now here he is, and the whole family has moved out to Jacksonville. And he says Julius is absolutely loving it here, loving the environment, loving the way he fits in with the team, loving the prospects of the organization and everything. And you know, you'd expect him to say that, but it's good to hear nonetheless.
Sure.
I think it was genuine. He seemed he seemed very genuinely excited just to be here and taking it all in. So let's hope Julius Thomas becomes a fixture for years. I hope Julius Thomas, one of those deals, Tony, like 8 years down the road, people are going to be like, you know, he started his career in Denver. You guys remember that? Oh, yeah, that's right, he did. He started his career in Denver.
Yeah, that'd be sweet.
Because he does so well here in Jacksonville that he is known as a longtime Jacksonville Jaguar. That's going to do it for us today. Glad you're with us. Thanks again to the Tom Bush family of dealerships bringing you the Fan Feedback Spotlight. Back here again tomorrow, weather permitting, and I think we'll be fine on that score. Jags, continue to work on the practice field. We'll go out there and check it out for the final few minutes. But first, we'll say hello to the boys of XL Primetime coming up. So, for Tyler Devitt, for Joe Fortunato, and, of course, for Fat Tony, I'm Mike Dempsey signing off. This has been Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Now, Duval, give me two claps and a Rick Flip.